Good day, listeners, and welcome to Health Coach E Radio. I'm Dr. Mark Percival, and I'll be co-hosting today's got a funny little noise there. Hope that didn't interfere with the broadcast here. But I'll be broadcasting along with my co-host per usual once again this week. And thank you very much, Dr. David Hossie and Dr. Gregory Kelly last week, who filled in my absence and did their usual fine job. Was very impressed on listening to the show once again, gentlemen, so thank you. So I'd like to reintroduce and welcome Dr. David Hossie, who's speaking to us from Clarksville, Tennessee again today. Good morning, David.
Good morning, everyone.
And certainly Dr. Gregory Kelly, who is speaking to us from La Jolla, California.
Good morning, Marcus.
All right. And Dr. Richard Perryman, who I believe is in your neighborhood right now, Greg, doing some business and a little family spring break vacation in the Disneyland area. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
So as you know, gentlemen, I've posted as the topic for this week, what role do you play in your health? On reflecting of what are some of the greatest gifts that we could share with our listeners, I come back to the example of Roger Bannister and when he first broke the 4-minute mile barrier and did what was believed to be humanly impossible and accomplished something that changed forever the world's belief about the ability to break that 4-minute mile. And something that had not been done in the history of humankind was then repeated 26 times the next year and has been done thousands of times since. And why I think that's such a significant reference or model is because we have all grown up in a culture where billions of dollars get spent every year to make sure we know about the wonders of modern-day medicine and about the role of health professionals and pills and potions and medical interventions and procedures in restoring our health. And very little gets spent in educating people about the miracle that actually is responsible for all healing. Very little is spoken about when that person undergoes that amazing surgery. Their ability to heal and recover after that is determined by one thing and one thing only. The same thing that determines a little one's ability to recover after strep throat or the ability of the body self-regulate and maintain its health ongoingly. It's that life force. And we take that for granted, generally speaking. There's a remarkable opportunity for people to recognize that this life force isn't something that is just there or that it's not, that our ability as individuals to live more fully, to develop to our potential, to access more of that healing ability is extraordinary. And I'd like to hear how you presence it over the years with your clinical patients, how you're presencing it now in our health coach community, and give the listeners an opportunity to both listen in and ask their questions and submit them using the webcast page today so that we can explore this area a little more fully. And we may choose to do a number of shows on this because there's so many extraordinary examples of our real power and how much more sense it makes to be more health responsible and live more health responsibly, really honoring this power to heal. So I'm going to just toss it over to any of you that want to jump in and share from a standpoint of how you begin to engage and embrace your new clients or people that you're interacting with outside of your clinic walls around the role that they play with respect to their health.
One of the things that I think is most important in understanding the role that our wellness plays in our health is to have an accurate understanding of how important our day-to-day actions are with regard to what our health outcome is. Important in this is asking the question to people, what is health? And many people sit there and kind of go, kind of flummoxed. It's kind of like saying, what's a great meal? Well, it's kind of hard to describe one, but you know what it is when you've had it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is health? People don't recognize that it's a full state of body, mind, spirit, at its optimal function and capacity. And so it starts there with saying, well, what are you after? Well, yeah, I guess I am after different states of being. And then in continuing that line of questioning, what is it going to take to get you there? Well, I don't know. That's why I'm here. And further prodding will usually elucidate that they believe that they're programmed to either be healthy or not be healthy with regard to their genetics, and that they may or may not have much to do with it. And the only hope they really have is to catch things maybe early and treat them aggressively. And instead of asking the question of, well, what creates health? And what is going to develop health in that individual over the course of time? So the question why is a central question in understanding what creates health. Why are you at the state you are currently? You know, what has brought you here? Yeah.
To underscore that, David, I was thinking of I was doing a abdominal palpation as part of a patient physical exam when I was in clinic last, and as I palpated around the gallbladder area, there was definitely guarding and tenderness and some obvious inflammation there, and as I brought that to their attention, the first response, and I know that you'll all as clinicians relate to this, was, yeah, my mother had gallbladder problems. There's an immediate knee-jerk response as you identify an area of the body that's under some kind of duress or in need of attention. The response tends to be, and we get this in response to blood work or a diagnosis of a cancer or any condition, there's often immediate kind of reference to, oh, there's a, you know, that familial tendency. And it's often coming from a place where the belief or the notion is that they've just ended up getting this because of it's in their family, not recognizing and not really having any idea, because how would they, unless they'd seen a health coach who educated them about this, not really having any idea what are the steps on a regular daily basis that create health and support health and allow the body to function fully, and that when we are either ignorant of those steps or we don't prioritize them appropriately, we're going to end up with dysfunction. And that dysfunction, yes, many types of dysfunction we are predisposed to by our ancestors, going maybe many, many, many generations back. So there is definitely a predisposition. But whether we develop that predisposition or not is dependent upon how we think, feel, and act moment to moment over the course of our lifetime up to this point. And the great news for listeners is that by then taking responsibility for your thoughts, feelings, and actions, and learning more about those which support health, which is a wonderful, much more vital, enlivened, joyous way to live and be and behave, rather than giving up all the good stuff, which is the other notion we want to dispel, that you can actually call forth an expression of those genetics that's very different than what your parents ended up living out and experiencing, or your grandparents ended up living out or experiencing.
Yeah, Mark, what I'll usually ask individuals when they give me that response is saying, well, fascinating. What do you think they did or did not do that led to them having it?
Exactly.
and it's interesting. People go, oh, wait a second. Oh, I guess they had lifestyle choices. They had life experiences as well as they had genetics. And I think what's fascinating is everybody wants to kind of pin the tail on the genetic donkey here,
right,
and say exactly, oh, this is, I have the gene for this. And what most individuals have no conception of is that our genes are much like the book of life, and many, many chapters don't get read over the course of your life. Which pages are opened up and which pages and which genes get read and then expressed in the form of health are highly variable during a course of a person's life. So it doesn't matter as much what genetic hand you're dealt as it does how you're going to play that hand. And that's where health responsibility comes in.
I think that there's been so much attention in the media over the last several years with the Genome Project as well, guys, that has kind of brought to the surface this idea of these genetic predispositions. And it's, you know, as we well know, it's not even really half the story. It's yes, you may have a genetic predisposition because there's all kinds of testing now, genetic testing that you can go through to see if you're predisposed to heart disease or osteoporosis or a variety of different things. And to say that you have even a genetic predisposition to those things does not mean that you're going to or should realize those various conditions, and that's one half of the equation. So there's genotype, or your genetic predispositions to those things, and there's phenotype, or your diet and lifestyle. And it's your diet and lifestyle, by and large, that triggers, either switches on or switches off, those genetic predispositions to those conditions. And people don't realize that. They think, wow, I've got the genetic predisposition for this, I guess I'm just going to get it. The best I can hope for is to minimize it. That's not true at all. You don't ever have to realize the vast majority of those chronic conditions whatsoever.
And I think it's important to underscore in the language, lifestyle has tended to be thought of as something that we just, it's what we do. And the part behind the doing, the way we're being, the way we're thinking, the way we're feeling, is often not understood and not tabled in those discussions around lifestyle. So the choices that we make of how we live moment to moment are predicated on our beliefs and our notions about the impact of those behaviors. And I think Bruce Lipton has done one of the better jobs in his work, The Biology of Belief, in helping to dispel the myth of our body cell function even being regulated by genes, let alone our systemic function, and talks about the importance of the cell membrane in its regulation of our health and how that's directly influenced and dynamically influenced by our beliefs, our thinking. And that's why it's so important to begin with, and that the health coach system begins with, first of all, identifying what people's current beliefs are about their health and well-being, about what their beliefs are about their current state of health, because so many people attend a physician or a healthcare professional once they've had a diagnosis of a disease. In other words, once their individual signs and symptoms have been labeled, then they, or when they express themselves, they want them to get labeled, and then those conditions get treated as if they're separate from that individual and have little to do with their thoughts, feelings, and actions moment to moment, day to day. And nothing could be further from the truth. They're an expression of that wisdom. They're an expression of that dynamic, that individual interfacing with their environment, which is dictated to a huge extent by their beliefs and the actions that they take in accord with those beliefs day after day after day. You know, it's when I was thinking about this topic today, I was reflecting on a patient who came in to see me just over a year ago now, who we kind of fast-tracked because it was a good friend of one of our dear patients at our center in Ontario, because he had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure and told he had 35% heart function. And this man would be in his early 70s, very robust, hardworking his whole life, very physical man. And he was very distressed by his sudden inability to walk without chest pain and being told he had 30% of his heart function, and largely was quite not apathetic, but he was demoralized because of the diagnosis. And he was put on his, and David, you would know this well, you could guess, his blood thinners and his beta blockers and several other medications. And that's kind of all he was told to do, and to be careful not to overexert or overexercise. Well, with some very pragmatic, simple steps, we improved his nutrition, both in from a standpoint of the foods he was eating and when he was eating them. He had a chronic sleep problem, which we helped him address by helping him to understand the key rhythm cues and begin to live a lifestyle that followed much more closely with natural order, began to deepen his sleep cycle. We recommended a foundation micronutrient program to ensure he had the appropriate micronutrients, the workers that help your biochemistry function properly. We prescribed some specific nutraceuticals to help strengthen and improve his heart function and optimize his ability to recover. And we gave him some very specific stress management, pace breathing exercises to do. He has completely returned to his pre-congestive heart failure state. He exercises as aggressively as he wants. He's on a great interval training program, never experiences any chest pain, even in cold weather, doing his walks in Canadian winters. He's re-engaged his fully active lifestyle. He's sleeping better than he ever has before. Just got reassessed, and the doctor told him he doesn't know how, but he's got 80% plus of his function of his heart back. And that just shows a classic example. He could have just acquiesced to conventional medicine, and until the next crisis hit, until he had his next episode of heart failure, which they'd heroically attempt to intervene in. When his vitality could no longer muster a response to the medical interventions, he would pass away and leave us at that time. Well, here's a man that it obviously wasn't his time yet. He's living an extremely robust life now. And I think just as importantly, he's inspired many others to look at their lifestyles, including his much younger daughter, who's now come in and begun to get coaching, and to go through and look at people's typical history and look at how they've approached their health care. And we don't mean, if this is sounding flippant or disparaging to you, the healthcare consumer, that's not at all what we intend, nor do we intend it to be disparaging to our current medical system and healthcare. What we want to do is use this platform to help inspire you to take responsibility yourself, not to defer to others. Understand that when you hear about the latest, greatest, it's usually because there's an economic interest behind it that you're hearing about it. So economics really dictate what ends up getting covered in the media, other than obviously, you know, disaster scenarios. When it comes to your health, it's not a should do or a could do, it's a must do to take more responsibility for learning how this game of health really plays out and what role you play in either optimizing or just out of ignorance or deliberately ignoring the evidence otherwise to limit yourself unnecessarily and end up experiencing those predispositions that otherwise would never have expressed themselves maybe in 80, 90 years of full, robust living.
Mark,
wow.
Good to talk about.
Mark, great story.
Thank you. It's beautiful. And
That's just beautiful. It just almost it brings tears to my eyes because that gentleman, it's unfortunate that he had to have a health crisis before he came in to start to address these aspects.
Yep.
How much better it would have been had he had a baseline heart rate variability analysis, you know, 20, 30 years prior to that, and recognize, wow, this is certainly below the vitality that would be appropriate for my body, and then to continue to engage. But wow, hey, take them where they come, and kudos to him.
I look forward to sharing the story. I look forward to sharing a story about his daughter on another call, especially when we talk about, you tabled the need to discuss sexual function and how that's a directly related to our health, rhythms, fertility, et cetera. And we'll tell you more because I get all choked up just even talking about his daughter, who I just had the opportunity to evaluate and begin to see the multiple areas of her life where she didn't get the education, the principal center direction that she should have and could have, and where she's ended up now, and the opportunity that we have with this young woman to change the trajectory of her life and improve how she's functioning is such a great joy and privilege. People ask, why do I still stay in practice? It's because there's nothing that comes close to the joy of seeing those individuals looking into their eyes when they come in to consult with you, and they're feeling so frustrated and helpless, like they've done so much and tried everything, and this is failing, and that's not working, and you look at it and you go, no one's done the fundamentals here. No one's coached you on how to call forth the greatness within the miracle of life. And I know that as we look after these fundamentals that have been neglected and ignored and maybe and in many cases complicated by the well-intentioned advice of medical professionals that are still trying to fix people outside in rather than understanding the incredible complex dynamic and internal ecosystems and the balance of gut ecology and all the other things that when you begin to set in order and get on the right path that the body's wisdom kicks in and begins to self-regulate and improve and heal things that just have been lingering and getting worse over many years, it's just such an overwhelmingly joyous feeling to be able to inspire people to do that. I'm hoping that we'll get the opportunity to do that en masse with more and more people via our new health coach systems. And I'm sorry, Greg, we kind of shanghaied the phone line here because we're on a roll, but I heard you trying to make a comment there, bud.
Well, I guess a couple of things when I hear about genetics, and that's, you know, one is that, you know, say 15 years ago, genetics, the promise was that, you know, with the mapping of the Human Genome Project, we'd be able to kind of figure out all predispositions and have way more control and predictive ability over health. And what's really happened, you know, since it was mapped is what's, I think, usually now called epigenetics. And it's that the recognition that what you do, kind of what the genes are exposed to. So, you know, everything starting from kind of the health of your mom and dad before they conceived you, to the time during in utero, to after birth, all the way through your lifestyle, actually impacts genetic expression. So kind of, you know, what David said. So really what's happened is there's been a replacement of kind of this idea of fixed DNA to an idea of a much more plastic thing that you influence by literally every experience that happens to you from preconception all through your life. And it reminded me of a movie called Gattaca, which I can't remember exactly when it came out. I'm thinking it was in the mid-90s, and it was a kind of a futuristic sci-fi with, I think it was one of Jude Law's, you know, early pictures before he became more famous. But in it, there was basically two main characters, and I think they were brothers, but I'm a little foggy because it's been a long time since I saw it. And one basically had the good genes, like he was, you know, the guy that was going to qualify to do everything in that society because he just had the, you know, top 1% of 1% genes, and his brother basically got the shaft. But what the genes didn't predict was things that were more intangibles, heart, desire, things like that. And so the Jude Law character, when, you know, he ultimately encountered setbacks in life, couldn't handle them. And the other brother that was supposed to basically be fit for nothing other than maybe being a janitor used Jude Law's character's DNA throughout it to get ahead, because that was what mattered, was what the DNA said you were good for, not what you actually could do. And actually, you know, went on to, you know, kind of rise to the highest place you could in terms of performance. And I even remember there being one scene, because I think that the brother with the kind of short end of the stick, it was something to do with his heart that was, you know, where his DNA was weakest. And he challenged his brother to this long-distance swimming thing and beat him, and I think really had to save his brother that had the good heart genes. And so what I, you know, I think when I listen to these things and listen to the wonderful story you told, and having just been in a hospital, kind of cardiovascular hospital setting recently because of, you know, a dear friend's uncle, the messages that we get about what the you know, how fixed things are really just limiting beliefs where, you know, no one knows the capabilities of any human being. And I think, you know, at least my internal dialogue is, let's argue for possibilities. There's, you know, always examples that we can find of people that far exceeded what well-intentioned, whether they're health professionals, teachers, you know, mentor figures of any kind told them they could do. The Roger Bannister being, you know, an amazing story, the one of your patient being another one, and I'm sure everyone listening to this call would know similar stories. So it to me is ludicrous that we don't spend more time arguing for possibilities and cultivating through our individual choices better experiences than the kind of what the average expectation would be.
And underscoring that, Greg, and that, I think that's very appropriate to both the metaphor between the Gattaca story and about arguing for possibilities, is whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And it really comes down to, this starts with a belief around our possibility and a belief about fostering something better or beyond what we've experienced in the domain of health up to this point. And I'll often get responses, and I'm sure all of you can relate to this. People will come in and say, well, you know, I've done it all. Or they'll be talking about a friend, and they've done it all. They've seen the chiropractor. They've seen the naturopathic physician. They've seen the best medical doctor in there. They've seen the psychologist. They've seen the best body worker, the best physical therapist, and kind of on and on and on. They've kind of done it all. And when done it all typically means, unfortunately, in our culture, because this is the way health professionals are trained in their professional training, is the doctors have done their evaluations. They've made their recommendations, which typically are very long on things that the doc then does to and for the patient, and very short on what the patient, the individual, can learn to do for themselves, that if they don't, they not only will compromise their ability to respond, but they will end up missing the opportunity to get whatever the potential lesson is inherent in that condition. In other words, to grow and learn from that other than to become unwholesomely dependent upon some healthcare provider to do things to and for you. So what I want everyone on the call to think about is what's on your list of to-dos? Do the health professionals that you see coach you and direct you to learn more about how you really function, what really matters? Are you engaged in courses that develop you personally, that both help you develop a more accurate and real understanding of what the possibilities are as you learn to free your mind and your emotions to access levels of health and healing that have not been available to you before, or to access business, career, what I would refer to as legacy successes. In other words, when you do leave this earth physically, that you've left behind a contribution that delights and meets your wildest dreams. And we limit ourselves by our limited thinking, our limited mental emotional patterns that we've often adopted from the cultures that we've grown up in. Most people's thoughts are not their thoughts at all. They're the thoughts of the people, albeit well-intentioned, have raised them. However, they've often been very, very limiting. And healthcare is a classic example of this. So if you don't have your list of homework, if you haven't given yourself to spending the time that this warrants, and when you think about it, what could be a more important pursuit in your life than dedicating at least a part of your waking hours each and every day to understanding and learning more how to live a more full, complete, vital, loving, healthful, contributing life, then it's time to think about doing that. And certainly the opportunity at Health Coach is to participate with us more fully with our Health Coach University courses. And we would love to learn more about what courses you've taken as our listeners that you found of value, because Health Coach is all about community and networking. We do indeed understand that we are much smarter than me, and that's the foundation of our work is to be collaborative. So let's hear from you in our forums and our posts, and by participating in our Health Coach University community, you can become more of the solution, not only just personally, but for the rest of our community at large.
Yeah, and
Mark, that's
and
so that important, because that one of the things that, you know, inspiration, which is, you know, that fuel that gets, that breaks our current inertia, can only come from one of two places: either our own past experiences, or the experiences of others and the information of others. So in order to get out of your rut, you really need to find new community. You need to find new information, new opportunities. And there's been few places that have had the cauldron of inspiration that has been present as Health Coach University. As these message boards and forums pick up, it just delights the soul to see people getting it and saying, "Wow, are you kidding? This is not hard." I've come to believe falsely that lifestyle changes are hard, or that maybe that I can't, or that this is just going to be a whole lot of work, and I'm not going to enjoy myself. And people saying, "Wow, I'm enjoying life more than I ever have before. I'm playing. I'm just finding entirely new ways to be." That's what it's about,
exactly.
And that's what we get to see on Health Coach University. I'm learning in the process.
Yeah, we all are, David. Yeah, Rick, you had some comments.
Just to kind of underscore what David was saying, it can't help but be contagious. I've got an example of when I was still in clinical practice, a patient of mine came in, and she actually brought her husband in. Her husband was potentially the patient and was having all kinds of chronic gastrointestinal problems. They were telling him that they were going to have to, you know, remove large portions of his intestines at this point because of long-standing colitis and irritable bowel syndrome, et cetera, et cetera. And he was, frankly, unwilling to kind of do anything about it. He was at a point where he felt like he was defeated. He had given up. He had, after years of, you know, every kind of medication known to mankind, and perceivably every type of solution, lo and behold, the diet and lifestyle solutions that were really the fix, had been tried. His wife was willing to kind of undergo the process to serve as an example for him as to what could be done. She was a little overweight and wasn't in the greatest of health, and, you know, wanted to just be able to show him from an example that she would do this and he could see how that would manifest with her. And lo and behold, she did. Jenner took a tremendous diet and lifestyle change and really cleaned up her diet, which was pretty bad, as his was. Some real fundamental things were wrong there. Lo and behold, she drops 30 pounds, the right way, and starts looking great, starts feeling great. All of a sudden, he becomes inspired, is able to stave off the surgery, is able to, in fact, reverse his chronic irritable bowel and colitis issues. And, it was amazing because it was just a contagious thing. She was able to do it. He was able to watch her do it and go, hey, that's not that hard. I can do that. And lo and behold, it turned out to be exactly the answer for both of them.
And, boy, we've got a list of similar kind of circumstances, don't we?
Yep.
And that's the challenge, and I table that in my initial consultations with any new clients, is the greatest challenge I have is to capture your attention long enough and encourage you and enable you to apply some new principles, some new ways of thinking and new ways of acting in your life so that you can see for yourself the marked improvements, and then with your attention, with you then in a different place where rather than learning helplessness like you're referring to with this gentleman, Rick, I've been there, done that, tried it, didn't work then, it's not going to work now. So many people are in that state with some new success under their belt. People often then open up and go, okay, bring it on. Let's, I'll make more time for this now because I can see the opportunity inherent in that. It's a challenge when people come in who've jumped through a lot of different hoops. Again, often under the direct advice of well-intentioned health professionals that have either had a very limited model of how to produce health or have had a very limited toolkit available to them. And the reality is most doctors won't spend much time on what they don't get compensated well to do. And doctors get compensated in our current systems in both Canada and the U.S. for diagnosing illness. They get paid very well for the assessment game, but the assessment game not from a standpoint of health assessment. As a matter of fact, most third-party payers and governments won't even pay for proactive health screening. They'll pay for tests being done where there's a suspicion of a disease, and then they'll pay, they open up the coffers to pay doctors to do things to people who have those illnesses or those conditions. So that's the way the game has been played, is because of the way the economics have been set up. The economics aren't set up to help people prevent disease and how to help them to optimize their performance. So that's one of our biggest challenges in Health Coach as we develop the systems to improve efficiency, is also to build systems in that create economic rewards for health professionals to encourage them to do them for reasons in addition to it's the right thing to do ethically and morally, which unfortunately, in my naivete 25 years ago when I launched my personal practice, I just assumed most health professionals were doing what was in their patients' best interests, and that if they found something that was important to their patients' well-being, they'd be all over it. As I developed the systems and models to become a better educator and start working with my patients and partnering and collaborating with them and getting exceptional results, that became very apparent. And as I took that to my fellow colleagues, they'd be similarly inspired to go back to their practices. And when I'd then visit and find out what they're doing in their practice, I would find very little had changed. And the number one reason was because they hadn't found a way to make it work economically. And it's sorry to say, and I'm not being disparaging to them, but most people, it's no different. You don't, not go to work where you're going to get a paycheck that day and go off and be a volunteer at the local chronic care center, although it would probably be as rewarding or more rewarding emotionally. It doesn't pay you very well. The health care professional game, like we talked about in our e-health radio show 2 weeks ago, it's really economics rule. And make no mistake, what you hear about, in advertising and what you end up getting at your doctor's office is hugely influenced by the powers that be, the big players economically, which is why medications have become so popular in our culture today. and elective surgeries have become so popular today. There's much more money in it than there is in health promotion and health prevention because, number one, doctors really don't get educated about how to be good coaches. They don't get compensated well for being good coaches. And until the development of the health coach system, which is why we built it, they really didn't have the tools to be effective coaches. That's why we've created,
Mark,
for example.
Mark, go ahead, Dave. I would say something else here, that actually I think that it's even deeper than that. The it's not a matter of the whole idea of coaching doesn't even come up when
That's
one
true.
Is in medical training.
Mm-hmm.
It's the paradigm of walking alongside an individual and of slowly in, or of progressively improving that person's body's ability to heal by making sure it's sufficient in everything it needs and improving the distressors or reducing the distressors that are weighing down upon a person so that you can slowly build a person back up from a state of defined disease back up towards their maximum wellness, their health potential. You know, we have a paradigm that either you have a disease or you don't have a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that paradigm, then you really can't go to that next step. And increasingly, doctors, my colleagues in town are grasping that, wow, there is something more here. And now how do we go about it? How do we effectively help individuals make these changes? How do we reverse the health trend of that individual? And it really goes back to philosophy and how does health work? And I think you go over that excellently in some of the introductory videos that are on the healthcoach.com home webpage.
Are you talking about the new ones, David?
Yes, those and
the new orientations.
That's correct. Yeah,
yep.
giving a basic understanding of, you know, what does create health, and you know, and what is the opportunity available to individuals to engage the process in a whole new way.
Yeah, exactly. And we're asking things of our medical profession, and I guess they'd be kind of guilt by association in that most doctors won't, you know, take a stand and go, you know, that's not what we've been trained to do. You're going to have to find that elsewhere. At the very least, that would be great, but you're not going to hear that from docs typically. But the illusion is that docs are really the brokers of healthcare, and when you go see a doc, they should be able to meet these needs. Well, it became apparent to us along the way. Obviously, that's why we've come together at Health Coach, that with the greatest of intentions, we still found it very challenging to be able to provide the inspiration, education, and support to our clients that they needed to really optimize their health and well-being and maximize the opportunity for them to live a full and productive life, whether they had a current diagnosed disease or not. And the old saying that, you know, came through my head, you know, many, many times over the years as I've looked and as we've had our mastermind sessions about how to model and build the next application in the health coach system is you don't hire a trial lawyer to paint a board fence, and you really don't hire a doctor to educate you on all aspects of health and how to recover and optimize your function. Your doctor can provide invaluable feedback and monitor your progress along the way, help you understand how your system is responding in addition to how you're feeling and the obvious how you're sleeping and your appetite, but to do some objective biomarkers and measure things like heart rate variability and body composition and certain blood chemistry factors to look at, are you really trending in a better direction? But when it comes to the fundamentals of that education, that's why we've built Health Coach University, because we needed a much more cost-effective way to both serve up the education, to create a community where people, as you spoke to earlier, David, can inspire one another, because something that one person says will be an incredible, I think of the post your wife made in Health Coach University earlier this week. It was profoundly inspirational to many others, much more so maybe than anything you or I could have said as health professionals. Here's an educator who is first and foremost in our community, a mom, and she shares what she shared kind of around her breakthrough, and boom, it's like knocking down a bunch of bowling pins. There's a chain effect that goes on, and a bunch of people are inspired to do similarly. That's the kind of environment that our healthcare system needs, and we've got a great start at it, I'm delighted to be able to say. And for the $27.95 a month that a course costs you to participate in, with four live sessions and every session to date archived, multimedia support, and our health code guarantee, which is if you don't think it's worth more than you're paying for it, we'll refund your money, you know, on your way, which just doesn't happen because of the extraordinary value. We've got a shot at making a difference in how health care is engaged by individuals across North America and potentially globally. And I think part of our mandate in doing these shows is to let people know you won't know unless you engage. You won't know unless you investigate. So please, if what we're speaking to moves you in some way and you can feel it in your heart and your head's going, yeah, this makes sense, but, you know, I don't know a lot about what they're talking about, why we've created Health Coach University, and that's where you can join us for a much more consistent educational process in these important areas. So any wrap-up comments, gentlemen, sign off here today?
No, just that contagiousness is happening in all kinds of different environments. In our corporate environments, we're seeing that begin to happen now as well. So anywhere there's a community, and let's face it, every community needs more of this. Everywhere we're seeing these communities that we're able to plug this information into, we get a very similar response. So it's very encouraging and a lot of fun.
You bet it is. Absolutely. And those who don't know about our corporate programs, use the link on your Health Coach radio page or use the links that are available directly from our healthcoach.com page. Dr. Hasse referred earlier, we've got orientations up now for those of you that are members of the public or current patients of health coaches or that are health professionals who are seeking more information about our system. By the way, health professionals, there's an access code to access your health professional orientation information. You would just call our toll-free number at Health Coach to get that access information. And for corporate members who are looking at and interested for their corporation, whether you're an employee or one of the decision makers in your corporation, feel free to come online, go to healthcoach.com, click on Learn More About Health Coach, and click on the Corporate Wellness Interest link and review the overview of our corporate program. We've just got some phenomenal applications in place now that allow us to support many, many people in integrating these important distinctions into their day-to-day living and making this world a healthier, happier place for all of us. So thanks, everyone, for your time. Any closing comments, Dr. Greg?
I would just say, you know, one of the pleasures meeting you and getting to work with you over time is because early on in my medical education, just getting to sit in a big classroom and listen to you really arguing for possibilities rather than accepting the limitations that are sometimes opposed was, you know, one of my most, I guess, joyful memories from my early medical school education. And, you know, so I would say that, you know, the people that get to take advantage more of you and Rick and Mark and I through the medium that Health Coach University offers, I think would be, you know, equally as thrilled looking back, you know, over time, sometime in the future as I am now sitting here in La Jolla, you know, thinking back on my early exposure to you.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, it's quite a blessing to witness people with incurable diseases heal themselves and know that in large part that's reproducible and not because of what they took or what they did, but because of how they believed and how that then guided the actions and the decisions that they made going forward. It's a beautiful thing to witness. It's been a great privilege, and we're delighted to be able to share that and on an increasing scale with increasing cost effectiveness. So thank you all for your role in that.
It is a privilege.
It truly is. Well, thanks for the opportunity to be with each of you, gentlemen, and thank you to our listeners. We look forward to being with you again, either in Health Coach University or next week in our Health Coach E radio course. Bye for now, all. Make it a great week.